I recently heard a story about two blind men who are both Christians. They are discussing together the story of the healing of Bartimaeus. One of the blind men said, "It is because of this story that I chose to follow Jesus. I am a Christian because of this story of Bartimaeus. The fact that Jesus stopped in his path to touch and heal a man just like me shows that Jesus loves and cares for people who have my experience." The other blind Christian responded, "I know that story, but that story never would have convinced me to be a Christian." "Why ever not?" asked the first man. "Because," he said, "I have prayed and prayed to God through Jesus to heal me of my blindness. And God has not come through like was in Bartimaeus' experience." "Well, why are you a Christian then?" the first man asked. "I am a Christian," the second man replied, "because when I read the words Jesus spoke from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?' I trust that Jesus knows and cares for my soul." I wonder why it was that Bartimaeus turned to Jesus to begin with. You see, Jesus and his band of disciples were on the way out of Jericho when they passed Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, the scripture says, was not on the road, but sitting beside the road. And though he could not even see Jesus, Bartimaeus knew he wanted some part in what Jesus was doing. Have you ever felt like you were sitting on the sidelines when you knew the important action was on the road or in the court or somewhere where you were not? Have you ever yearned, longed for, or even reached for that chance to be part of the action? Did you find your way in? I have been following the caravan of 5,000 people traveling from Central America through Mexico on their way to the U.S. border. Some of the pictures I have seen show parents holding young children as they travel by foot. I understand how a young child's weight gets exponentially heavier with each 10-minute interval of being held. I also understand the weight a parent feels to keep their child safe. So when I see these parents carrying children in this caravan, I wonder first how tired their arms must feel. And then I wonder, what is it that they are fleeing? Because to bring a child on a journey like this, which to me seems neither comfortable nor safe, they must be fleeing something truly frightening. Like Bartimaeus, they are reaching for something, and though the odds seem impossible, they have remarkable faith in what could be. Let's look more closely at Bartimaeus. Even though he was a beggar sitting by the roadside, everyone in the crowd knew whose family he belonged to. The Bible even says it twice. His name, Bartimaeus, literally means bar, meaning son, and Timaeus, son of Timaeus. And then the scripture repeats it, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. So he was no nameless beggar, like any of the dozens of people you may see if you commute to work, asking for food or money. Some of you may actually come to know these neighbors' names, but there are so many faces that dot our ways through life that we can easily just pass right by. Although we don't see the father Timaeus, we know that Bartimaeus should have been connected to him. Is the father absent while his son, blind and begging, sits by the roadside because the father is embarrassed? It certainly seems that Bartimaeus embarrasses the crowd, so much that when Bartimaeus begins to shout and call out to Jesus, they shush him, sternly ordering him to be quiet. Perhaps they knew their scripture well. After all, Leviticus 21 forbids blind people from approaching the altar of the Lord. I wonder if the father, Timaeus, was a well-known figure in the community, but bore a societal and perhaps religious shame for having a son with a disability. After all, so much theology then and now repeats what the Psalm of the Day says, "Seek the Lord, God will answer you and deliver you from your fears. Look to God and be radiant. Your face shall never be ashamed. Cry to the Lord and God will hear you and save you from every trouble. Fear the Lord and God will encamp God's self around you and deliver you." So if that's true, if God is really like that, then what can we say of Timaeus, the father, that he could have a blind son? To make room for Bartimaeus in that intersection of history and culture would be to say either that God failed in God's promises, or that Timaeus did not give God the faithfulness that would allow for the blessings of a prosperous life and family. A few years ago, during the Broadway performance of The King and I, during an intense whipping scene in the second act, a child began yelping in the audience. As the actor in the play, Kevin Moon Low, said, "It sounded like terror. His voice pierced the theater. The audience started to rally against the mother and her child to be removed." The actor continued describing what happened. "I heard murmurs of, 'Why would you bring a child like that to the theater? This is wrong.' The actor said, 'Plainly wrong. Because what you didn't see was a mother trying desperately to do just that. But her son was not compliant. What they didn't see was a mother desperately pleading with her child as he gripped the railing, refusing, yelling more out of defiance. I could not look away. I wanted to scream and stop the show and say, 'Everyone relax, relax. She is trying. Can't you see that she's trying?'" This actor wrote on his Facebook page about that excruciating experience, not because the boy troubled the scene, but because the audience, in their entitlement, couldn't figure out how to make space for the boy and his mom. The actor wrote, "When did we, as theater people, performers, and audience members, become so concerned with our own experience that we lose compassion for others? The theater, to me, has always been a way to examine and dissect the human experience and present it back to ourselves. Today, something very real was happening in the seats, and yes, it interrupted the fantasy of what was supposed to be this matinee, but ultimately, theater is created to bring people together, not only for entertainment, but to enhance our lives when we walk out the door again. Just as the autistic child and mannerisms of a young boy troubled the audience at a Broadway play, so Bartimaeus, in his blindness, troubled not only the crowd of those following Jesus, but also the biblical tradition that says that good works always equal God's favor. No doubt God loves our good works. The great reformer Martin Luther made it clear in his 95 theses he supposedly nailed to the church doors in Wittenberg, copies of which quickly spread through Europe thanks to the technology of the printing press, that he who sees a needy man and passes him by, yet gives his money for indulgences, does not buy papal indulgences, but buys instead God's wrath. From Martin Luther's point of view, God is more pleased by right actions than by purchasing God's favor through buying forgiveness certificates, called indulgences, that were offered by the Pope in the 16th century. But Luther, who was a monk before his part in the Reformation, spent hours upon hours in his cell, punishing himself before God for not being good enough. He would confess every sin that he could possibly think of having committed. And then he would confess more, never able to see himself as worthy before God. And then one day it dawned on him that God's grace is what makes us good. And that grace is not something we can earn. The late author Phyllis Tickle, in her book, The Great Emergence, notes that the impactful moment of Martin Luther's 95 theses could not have happened without many other ships. Copernicus, supposing that the sun, not the earth, is the center of the universe. The advent of the printing press, and Columbus's fateful westward sail. Turns out Columbus didn't sail off the edge of a flat earth. And also the beginnings of capitalism. The opening hymn I chose to go with today's worship service was written by Martin Luther, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." The fourth verse of this hymn speaks to the importance of Scripture, that word above all earthly powers. Luther, along with the reformers that came shortly after him, such as John Calvin, spoke of sola scriptura, Scripture alone, as the authority in which Christians should trust. Having seen the authorities in human church leadership, especially back then in that of the Pope, fail the faith, the great reformers held up Scripture as the infallible way that we can understand God's movement in our lives. In a sense, for the reformers, Scripture was the fortress in which we can experience God. Now, try and picture a fortress. You might, in your imagination, go over to Fort Washington and Fort Lee, or you might think of another structure. If you think of a fortress, you may think of stone walls that protect whatever's inside. You think of militarism and a structure that allows you to be defended, but also has narrow windows or openings from which you can see and attack an approaching enemy. A fortress offers opportunity for offense as well as defense. But I suspect that we fail the faith when we see what Jesus offers as a fortress, a place from which we can attack others, and a place where we can retreat and hide when we are fearful. I think again of the caravan heading towards this country through Mexico. I think of the parent whose tired arms are carrying a child. I wonder if instead of using our faith as a fortress, we could instead see the church as the arms that hold a vulnerable child, knowing that it in fact could be the incarnation of the Christ child. As a parent who knows how quickly a young child can turn to lead heavy in your arms, it occurs to me that it's very likely that the people I see in these pictures holding a child are not in fact the child's true parents. They are caring individuals who volunteer to take a turn, to hold the child, and to keep the child safe, so that the child's care and safety does not fall on one person alone, not only on the child's parents. This seems to be the spirit of the caravan. I read yesterday that along the caravan's journey, people have shown up with stew and tortillas and comfort stations that provide healing for blistered and aching feet. Though many live in poverty along this caravan's trail, they offer what they can to give healing to those more vulnerable than themselves. These also are the arms that carry Jesus. Are our arms strong enough to hold Jesus through these times? These are times when even a sanctuary does not feel like a safe space, safe from the violence that has become daily headlines. We join our Jewish siblings in faith in lament for the persecution that was experienced in Pittsburgh yesterday at Tree of Life, a synagogue, where a gunman entered and did a crime that not only impacted those who knew and loved the victims, but also had echoes of the violent persecution Jews have experienced throughout history. Bartimaeus could not see Jesus, but he knew he wanted some part in what Jesus was doing. The placement of this story in Mark comes after several stories in which people questioned Jesus. These are people who had sight, but in fact were blind to what Jesus was trying to do, whether they were trying to trap Jesus by using scripture as a weapon or using Roman law as a weapon. While Bartimaeus literally could not see, he knew he was beholding the Christ. He reached beyond the fortress of his blindness and joined Jesus' procession towards what would come next. When we also reach out our arms for Jesus, who knows how our lives, our church, and our world might next be reformed. We are part of a confessional church. That means we participate in the affirmations of faith that through history have helped Christians speak and hold the faith. We don't say that these confessions are tests of faith as much as testimonies of faith, and we're invited to keep sharing in those stories. Many of the historical confessions of the Presbyterian Church USA come from Europe, where the fires of the Reformation happened. But we are indeed a global church, and the arms that have held Jesus stretch far beyond the borders of our own countries and languages. The confession we will speak today comes from the 24th General Council of the World Alliance of Reformed Churches in Accra, Ghana, of which our denomination took part. Let us stand and say together what we believe.